This is the Premier League Preview Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @Premier_podcast. Find us on Facebook under Premier League Preview Podcast or online at plpreview.com.
Hello, you're very welcome to the Premier League Preview Podcast. It's match week 26, or maybe it's match week 25 and a half, or it's the first half of match week 26. It's the winter break, so we're going to have the first half of match week 26 this weekend and the second half next weekend. So what we're going to do with the podcast is just talk about the first half now, and then we'll have another podcast for next week. So we'll just treat them as two separate game weeks with half the amount of games in each. I'm Sean Fitzmaurice, joined as always by Mr. Owen Maloney.
Howdy.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter, @Premier_podcast, or you can get us on Facebook, the Premier League Preview Podcast. Visit our website, plpreview.com. We've got a Patreon there. You can throw us a few quid, make it worth our while for doing this, talking this nonsense every week.
Exactly, yeah.
Or just, you know,
abuse us. Actually, you know what? I've said that many, many times, and I may come across as like sadistic, but I like when people give out about me, especially on Twitter. It's a bit of crack, and I then have an excuse to abuse you back. So yeah, let's have a bit of crack.
It lets you know that people are listening.
It does. Yeah, but throw an old insult here or there, or even why not go mad altogether and throw the compliment? That would be huge. That would be huge, wouldn't it?
It would.
So yeah.
Anyway, no, that's love for that begging over with.
yeah, we need to do that at the end of the podcast, actually, I think.
We've four games this week. I suppose we'll just start with the first one and go through. The first one, 12:30 Saturday, is Everton versus Crystal Palace. Everton, who were the luckiest team. Like, there was a lot of lucky escapes at the weekend, got just gone, but Everton's one was ridiculous. Watford absolutely battered them, went 2-0 up, and then Everton scored from two set plays, two very poor pieces of defending from Watford, it has to be said. But there's no way Everton deserved to walk away with all 3 points from that game.
No, that was cruelty, I suppose, if you're a Watford fan to watch that. It was really kind of stomach sinking, like, what are you doing type stuff at the back after putting themselves in such a good position as well. And that makes a huge difference to Watford's position right now, as you can see looking at the league table, or in 19th.
Yeah, and not only that, Everton ended up winning it with 10 men as well, which is an even bigger sickener for Watford.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be a real tough one to get over for the fans.
Yeah,
they're obviously going to be hoping that they can. They're out obviously on Saturday as well. They're playing Brighton, another massive game.
Yeah,
they're all massive now with only 13 remaining. But that is a huge game. That's what you'd maybe class as a relegation 6-pointer type job. So they'll be really targeting that. But I suppose back to Everton, they'll be counting their blessings. But things have really looked up for Everton in the last maybe two. Would you say 2 months? Like,
well, I don't think results haven't gone great for Ancelotti. I think that was his first victory, wasn't it? Or was it?
No, it's his second.
His second victory. It's the first time since, I think, the middle of last season that Everton have gone behind and come back to win again.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's a massive thing, and you would expect that to give them lots of confidence going into this Crystal Palace fixture, because confidence has been a big issue at the club since Marcus Silva was lacking because we
knew the squad had a degree of talent in it that relegation shouldn't have even been a thought. It was ridiculous the condition the club was in. And unfortunately, Silva, he's definitely a good manager, and just it didn't work out. He had to go.
Yeah.
Ancelotti's in there now. It shows ambition from Mashari's point of view. Shows ambition from everyone's point of view in Everton, in the backroom, in the management side of things, in the management structures. And things have turned. They haven't lost in 5 games, I think. Like, they're only 8 points away from Champions League. They're not going to get Champions League. Well, almost certainly not going to get Champions League. But if you had said in November to Everton fans, it's okay, you'll be in the top half of the table, and you'll be within 4 points of Europa League positions with 12 games to play, they'd say, what are you on about, you fool? There's not a hope of it. Yeah. We can't string two passes together. So things have turned around, and they're playing a team that certainly things have not turned around. I was reading it up on it earlier. Crystal Palace have gained 12 points only since the end of November.
Crystal Palace just do Crystal Palace things.
Yeah, they've only won one of their last 11. Now, admittedly, they've drawn 6 of their last 11. They have ridiculous, they just do not seem to, they just seem to be this team that will grind out miserable draw after miserable draw. They've lost 4 of their last 11, drawn 6, but only 1-1. And that's telling. Those 12 points since the end of November, that's kind of why we're now looking at them in 14th. And they're, they're 6 points clear of the relegation zone. But if the trend stays going the way it's going, maybe picking up a point every 2 games type of a thing is what they've kind of been doing, really. Or averaging a point a game might just get them there.
Yeah,
but I think it's dodgy now at this stage for them.
I think they're one of these teams. They're on 30 points, and they're probably just going to be safe enough with a point a game.
If you're looking at it, they'll probably end up on 40 points and probably finish like 16th, and it'll be a close call that it probably shouldn't have been. But we were saying it since the very start of the season that their squad is not a real Premier League looking squad to it. It has a Championship look to it.
Yeah,
but they have kind of catapulted now. They have like one game in their last 11 is ridiculous. But another weird anomaly in Crystal Palace games, it just goes to show, we've always said they're kind of dour games to watch this season. Spurs beat them 4-0 earlier in the season, and other than that, no team in any Crystal Palace game, whether it be Palace or their opposition, have scored more than 2 goals in a game. It's like, it's been real, a lot of 2-1s, 1-0s, 1-alls, nil-alls.
Yeah, but in fairness, they have been good defensively, and even they've had a lot of defensive injuries this season to what they would class as their first team defenders, and they've still managed to be very good defensively.
Yeah, in fairness, they have. They've only conceded 29 goals so far, which is pretty good for what they're at.
Like, yeah, exactly.
So, but in saying it's going that, down. Things are going the wrong way, unfortunately, though.
Yeah, and they were beaten by Sheffield United at home last weekend, but to be honest, Sheffield United are sitting in 6th, and they could possibly beat anybody at home 1-0.
They're dog rough, and especially in Bramall Lane, they're so hard to beat.
Yeah, absolutely.
But for Palace, looking at it, they could easily lose this game, and that's 3 losses on the bounce. And then you're thinking, you're looking over your shoulder going, that gap we had was 5 points last week, now it's 4. What's it going to be after this kind of long protracted game week? You don't know, and that's just kind of dragging you right back into that kind of sweet spot of dogfight.
I genuinely can't see any scenario where Palace win this game on Saturday. I can see them drawing it, like a nil-all draw or a 1-1 draw, or I can see Everton winning comfortably. But I just don't see, I just can't see how Palace are equipped to win this game.
Everton are averaging, I think it's like nearly 2.5 goals a game at Goodison this season as well, which is unusual considering they couldn't buy a goal for a while.
Yeah.
But you'd imagine Everton will score a goal or two, and it's just hard to see all this season where Palace's goals are coming from.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's not from a kind of a dodgy set piece, or they're obviously scoring some goals, but they're very hard to come by.
Yeah,
and this game like this with Everton now, their tails are kind of up slightly.
Mm.
And you'd kind of just, to me, I just say I'm expecting Everton to win this game as well, but. Yeah. I don't know. Palace have had the habit of snatching draws that they don't deserve.
Yeah, I don't see them winning it, but I can see them walking away with a point and being very happy with a point.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And a point at Goodison is a good result for Crystal Palace, really. But I do think on paper and all known form, Everton should win this game.
They should, but
if I was an Everton fan, I'd be very disappointed if we didn't take 3 points from this game.
I think we criticise Everton a lot this season for maybe a lack of heart at times. And in fairness, they showed a lot of it against Watford.
Yeah.
You know, like, Watford were starting to put a bit of form together.
Yeah.
They were looking like they might escape from what looked a very horrible early start to the season that they were going to go down.
Mm.
And to be 2-0 down and then go and win.
Yeah.
It shows a real kind of character there that we're not so windy. We do have a bit of backbone, and they're starting to now look as if they're going to finish in where we probably would have predicted at the start of the season, and you wouldn't have thought that halfway through the season. But it now looks probably they're going to maybe finish 7th type of a place, and that's Everton's kind of sweet spot. That's where their level usually.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's interesting, but I just see Everton maybe having enough for Palace, although Palace will probably make it miserable and very hard for them to win.
Yeah, I'm going to go for an Everton win on this one.
Same, I agree. I think it'd be like 1-0. I think it could be one of those just miserable ones that they eventually get their class will get them through.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be the greatest TV spectacle, but no. I think Everton will win it anyway. Now, let's talk about Brighton versus Watford. Brighton had a bit of a helter-skelter game against West Ham at the weekend, 3-3. And Watford, we spoke about them and the disappointment they had against Everton at the weekend. So both teams will be looking for, I suppose, a result.
They need a result, so they do, especially Watford. Yeah. But Brighton will be worried now. They're starting to, things are starting to get hairy.
Yeah.
They've 3 points in their last 5 games. They haven't won a game in 7, I think. And that's not good enough.
No.
With a pattern like that, you're only going to go one way. And they're starting to really, they're what, 2 points from safety now? That's madness. Because considering we were looking at them in, what, 8th, 9th, 10th through part of the season.
I think we always knew that they weren't good enough to be in that position.
Yeah.
I remember saying in one of our earlier podcasts that when you look through the Brighton squad, it's difficult to pick out what you'd consider to be a Premier League player. It's a Championship squad, really, at best. Like,
yeah. I suppose Mope might be there.
Yeah, Mope. Montoya does a good things from now and again. And I suppose maybe Lewis Dunk.
Yeah. Well, I do rate the centre-half partnership for the pure fact that they keep Shane Duffy on the bench, and he is the best Republic of Ireland player we have. And if Dunk and Webster can keep Shane Duffy off this Brighton team, then they have to be good. And they do. They're solid. They're both units of men.
They did concede 3 goals to West Ham. Yeah.
So when you look at it in recent times, it's not the greatest.
Yeah.
But from that general point, though, they are struggling for quality all through the team. Like, as you said, you like Aaron Moy. You think he's a workhorse, kind of underrated, but
he's
limited, like, isn't limited, he?
Yeah, yeah, he's not. I wouldn't consider him to be a quote. I don't know what's the word I'm looking for, but a quality Premier League player. I think he'd be a very, very good Championship player.
You know, he's the type of lad that worked very, very hard to get where he is. He didn't get there on talent type of a thing, and fair play to him. He puts in a shift, but like when you're looking at the top half of the table, Aaron Moy isn't getting into those teams. But anyway, this isn't a thing where we just shit on Aaron Moy, because he's 1,000 1,000 times the footballers that we'll ever be like. So.
And he is one of Brighton's best players, to be fair.
Yeah, exactly. We're just kind of, I suppose, single out a player for no reason. Trying to make a point that Brighton aren't really that good.
Yeah.
And they're sleeping down the table. But anyway,
they're currently sitting on 26 points and they're in 15th place. But their opponent in 19th is on 23 points. And can go level on them if they win this game.
Oh, this is huge. Yeah, this
If Watford win this game, it's massive for them. If Brighton lose this game, they're bang in trouble.
Yeah, it's tasty enough. And when you're looking, Watford at least have won 2 of their last 5. I know they've lost their last 2. I still can't believe they lost last weekend.
They just should not have lost last weekend. Like those 2 goals they conceded from set plays. It's when you're looking back at it, when you get relegated and you're looking back on your season, they're the type of games where you go, oh, that shouldn't have happened.
And I suppose there's a kind of a narrative there maybe that Brighton struggle to score at times, but looking at it, like, Watford have only scored 23 goals this season. That's not nearly good enough. But
no, but they have improved in terms of goal scoring since Pearson has come in.
Yeah, they have.
He's brought Deeney back in, which is bringing the forwards
into
play.
Deeney has found form as well through January. So this one is a toughish one to call, in the sense that there's so much more riding on it than 3 points type of a thing. Both teams are going to start feeling the squeeze massively now. And Pearson has galvanised Watford somewhat, but they're still not out of the woods. They're still in the relegation zone after putting up maybe a lot of moral performances, especially in maybe against the Liverpool, against Liverpool and Anfield. They were very good for long periods of that game and could have bagged a few goals. But you need the money. You need the bank. If you're not putting the points on the board, it doesn't matter how well you play. And they really need to start putting points on the board now, or else this is a game. I know they're away.
Personally, I see them winning this game. I just think they're better than Brighton.
I would agree with you in the last month or so, what we've seen, I would agree with you. But this is one of those games that form can kind of go out the window when you're both battling for your lives.
Yeah.
It might come down to who wants it more. And I just have a funny feeling Watford. I'm going to agree with you eventually in the sense, but I suppose to show my workings, I just feel like Watford and Deeney particularly, they're up for a fight. I think Watford are going to be up for more of a fight maybe than Brighton are. I think this could be a tasty fixture. There'll be no punches pulled here whatsoever.
The only saving grace for Brighton, I suppose, is any points they have picked up this season have been at home. They haven't won an away game. This game is at home for them, so they would be hoping that would stand to them.
It'll have to, like, just to be completely honest about it. With Watford, this Everton result will either sicken their shit, pardon the French, or it'll galvanise them and put the bit between their teeth and say, look, we're going to rebound from that in a big way.
Yeah, I mean, they have to be able to just look at that game and know that they were the better side and they only have one small thing to fix, and that's defending their corners, because that's where they screwed up. It was twice they let Yerry Mina score from a corner. And if they can play like they did against Everton and be better at corners, then they're going to win the game, no problem.
Hmm. So Brighton have won one game in their last 13, I count. Just having a quick look at it. And that win was against a Bournemouth that me and you on our own probably would have beaten.
Yeah.
So they're really struggling for three-pointers. This is a huge one. As we said, they're at home, but they're facing a dogged Watford side.
Well,
and
given that stat, I'm going for Watford all day long.
I can understand, but Watford have lost their last three games, including to Tranmere. So, recent form.
I don't think they would have really targeted that Tranmere game, considering where they are in the Premier League.
Not at all,
The game against Everton, I think that's an absolute anomaly. There's no way that they deserve to lose that game. And the game before that was
Villa.
They shouldn't have lost against Villa. I can't really make any excuses for them on that one. But I do think they're far better than Brighton, and I think Brighton's form is horrible. So I just can't see anything but a Watford win.
Watford hadn't lost a game in eight before the Villa and Everton games. And as you said, they were very unlucky to lose that Everton game. Some call it luck, some will call it stupidity, tuning out and just kind of simple mistakes. But I agree with you. I think Watford might be more up for this fight. And I think that they might just edge it, but it isn't easy. Brighton never make it easy for you.
Yeah.
But I just have a funny feeling that Watford will want it more.
Yeah. Right. On that note, we will move on to Sheffield United versus Bournemouth, which just sounds absolutely diabolical to me, to be honest.
Does it? I don't know.
I just don't see where the entertainment's going to come in this game.
Well, look, both teams have something to play for various reasons. Sheffield United, if they keep going the way they're going, could end up in Europa League. And
if Sheffield United keep going the way they're going, they could end up in the Champions League.
Yeah,
and because God knows Chelsea don't want fourth spot. They're doing the best, their level best to get the fuck out of there. But only for Spurs and United below them are also doing their best not to get it. It's like a competition for who can't get fourth.
Yeah.
And I genuinely think come the end of the season, if things keep going the way they're going, it'll either be Sheffield United or Wolverhampton Wanderers will be in that fourth spot.
When you look at it, right, around Sheffield United, Spurs have won two of their last five. United have won one of their last five. Wolves have won one of their last five. That is why that's what you're looking at. And now this is an opportunity for Sheffield United to kick on again. But in saying that, they're coming into they're meeting a Bournemouth team. We predicted it last week, in fairness, where we said this. We said there'd be a game that Bournemouth would turn it around, and it wasn't this Villa game at the weekend. It was the weekend before, where they got a taste for goals, bagged three, and we said, you know what, that might just spur them on, and it did. It was a hard fought victory that finished with 10 men, but they got the job done against Villa, and that's two wins on the bounce now. And we know Bournemouth can play great football when they're flowing. Things are starting to turn around at Bournemouth again. They've pulled themselves out of the relegation zone. They weren't in there long, but they've given themselves 2 point separation.
They're another side that won with 10 men at the weekend. There's a weird stat from the weekend just gone. I'm just looking at the results. There was three red cards in the Premier League in three separate games, and two of those games ended up in victory for the team that got the red card.
Yeah. And in fairness to City, they did all but how the last day game. They did not, they did everything but put the ball in the net.
City should have been 14-0 up by the time they got the red card.
Yeah, exactly. So it's an unusual, there is a mentality or a psychology kind of aspect to it that it tends to galvanize players. Yeah. Teams can often kind of be coasting or just not fully tuned in, and when they lose a player, they're under the gun. And I remember a teacher used to always say to us in school, he'd put us under pressure. He said, nothing concentrates the mind like a hanging. And that's the truth. When you're really under the gun, is when you wake up. It tends to just have a positive effect. It's some of the time, obviously.
We seen it the week before last as well with Arsenal when Luis got sent off. Arsenal's performance went up a level.
And they really frustrated Chelsea and they deserved their draw. They were full value for it.
But let's go back to the game at hand, Sheffield United versus Bournemouth. Very tough one to call for me because, like Bournemouth of a couple of weeks ago, they just couldn't win a game, but they've had two very good results over the last couple of games and they're a very good side and Eddie Howe's a good manager. But Sheffield United are just nearly impossible for anyone to beat.
They are. They're dog rough. When you look at their last three wins, it's City, Liverpool and City. Or their last three losses, City, Liverpool and City. That kind of tells you the teams that they're losing to. Everyone else, they make life very, very hard to compete with.
This is why I'm saying that they're most likely to be in the top four, because the only sides they lose to are the top four sides.
Yeah, they're dog rough. And going back to it, the only loss since the Liverpool game in Bramall Lane that wasn't to Liverpool or City was a 2-0 to Newcastle at home, which was definitely the exception that proves the rule. Yeah. Because other than that, they just aren't being beaten. They're just not being beaten by anyone else.
If Sheffield United end up in the Champions League this season, that will be, in my opinion, as big as the season Leicester won the league.
It won't be far off it. It actually wouldn't be far off it.
To come up into the Premier League and finish in the top four, that's a phenomenal performance.
And especially with the changes that have happened in the last 6 years in the Premier League since Leicester won it, with the money that has come in, with the massive expanded TV rights deal.
Yeah.
Was it something West Ham got the same amount for finishing sixth that someone got 2 years previous for winning the league? The money that has flooded into the league makes it so much harder for clubs just being promoted to really kind of sustain that level that you need. And they've done it on a fairly shoestring budget. They've four Republic of Ireland players starting sometimes. That'll say a lot. But Wilder has galvanised them. They're dog rough.
Yeah.
They're very hard to beat. They're great on the counter-attack. They score plenty of goals too. They put you onto the pin of your collar. And they're just good. I think maybe they surprised a lot of people, but I'd say they haven't surprised a lot of people too that would have watched them, which admittedly wasn't us. We wouldn't have watched a lot of Championship football last year, but they are a serious outfit.
I know you say they're dog rough, but they just work very hard.
That's it. That's what I mean in the sense that you get nothing cheap. It's a real war of attrition if you want to go and take on Sheffield United.
Yeah. They don't. They're just in your face and they just pester teams. And
they often force a lot of mistakes too from teams.
That's exactly what the point I'm getting to. When the opposition is on the ball, there's always at least three Sheffield United players around them trying to attack them. And it's kind of taken the pressing game that Guardiola and Klopp and the likes have made famous and taken it to the next level of using the pressing game with players that aren't so good, but just doubling up the players or tripling up the players and just making the opposition make mistakes and getting in their face. And it's working. I don't know if it's sustainable or for how long it's sustainable, but it's working for them now. And they're very likely to end up playing at Europe's top table next season.
You look at their goals for and against, I think it tells a story there. They've only scored 26 goals, which you'd have to go down as far as Newcastle in 12th to hit a team that hasn't scored that has scored less than them. But they've only conceded 23, and that's second best in the league after Liverpool. It's a dogfight with them, they can often, I know Klopp's phrase of mentality giants, they're real mentally kind of dogged, and that's kind of, I think, what fans, Bramall Lane is always hopping, and you can see they give every last drop. I think A clip from David McGoldrick probably typifies him that went viral when he raced back about 30 yards, made an incredible tackle to dispossess the player, and they were off again, and the place went mad because they just want to see every last drop given, and they get it, and that's all the fans can ask for. Like,
I suppose to draw on Klopp again, Klopp always says that he aspires to have his teams playing heavy metal football, and that's definitely what the Blades play, heavy metal football. That's the best way, I think, to describe it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've eulogized about them enough now. Let's talk about whether Bournemouth are going to beat them or not.
It's hard to call this one. Bournemouth have their tails up, and they're a dangerous side when they're confident. I don't care who you are. They're capable of hanging with you when their flow is up. Like, they speak a lot, people that write, good writers say, when your flow is up, you're creative, you'll do good things. That's exactly what Bournemouth are like. They were the epitome of writer's block for about 2 months there. They couldn't put anything together. Their flow is up now, they're going again. They're going to pose a serious challenge to Sheffield United, but Sheffield United have been posed many serious challenges this season, and they've managed to overcome it or match it. I have a funny feeling though, they're only going to match this one, and I can see this being a score draw.
Yeah, no, I can see it being a draw, but I'd say it's more likely that Sheffield United will win it. Just at home, just how tough they are, how little they concede, how little they give you the ball to play, and Bournemouth are a side that want the ball to play. Sheffield United just don't give it to you. So I think Sheffield United will win this, and it'll probably be like 1-0.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me, but I don't know. Bournemouth are going to be digging their heels in too. I know that we've said that they can play flashy football at times, but they're going to have to dig in now as well, and just out points, kind of a thing. When their flow isn't there, they're going to have to really be ballsy and gutsy and dig in and earn a draw maybe that they don't deserve, because it was just loss after loss after loss for a while. And when you're doing that, you've lost too much ground. You can't afford a silly loss that you just don't deserve or that you didn't think was on the cards. You have to be getting points that you don't deserve now from now on for Bournemouth.
And they're another side that's on 26 points. They're one game away from getting pulled into the relegation zone.
Exactly, yeah.
But the table doesn't lie. They're on 26 points and Sheffield United are on 36 points. You know, they're 10 points better off because they've been the better team this season.
Agreed. Over a long sample size, definitely they have been the better side. But I don't know. I just have a funny feeling that Bournemouth, they're a streaky team. They, as we saw with their losses, there's a streak of losses.
Yeah.
But they can often put on a very good run on the other end of the field too. So I don't know. I think it's very hard to go to Bramall Lane and win. I don't think Bournemouth will, but I think they might score, and I think they might do enough to secure a draw.
Right, well, I'm going to disagree with you and say that Sheffield United are going to win it. The last game we need to talk about is how many goals Man City are going to put past West Ham.
Well, if who knows if there's misfortune. In fairness, I think we must highlight it, because I think
they were horrendously unlucky against Spurs.
They were, but I think the same, I know they went through eventually, but against Man United, if anyone watched Carabao Cup semi-final, they could have scored 15 and didn't. I just feel all season City have been unlucky to an extent. I know you can't really say,
but at the end of the day, you make your own luck.
You do and you don't. I think when you add it up all, maybe at the end of the season, it probably balances out somewhat. But I think just this season for City, I feel like they've just not gotten the rub of the green in a lot of occasions. Now, I don't feel one minute quantum of pity for them, because they've bought their way to Premier Leagues, and we know they've broken every financial fair play rule imaginable. You can go on all day, but I just do feel that they've been a bit unlucky this season, and it's kind of nearly heartening to see that one of the big guys can get unlucky too. And we've seen it with their European form as well in recent years, like the Spurs game and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, they do get their fair share of bad luck at times. And it would be funny if it just continued this Sunday, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't think it will continue, because West Ham are an awful side. I don't know how they managed to score 3 against Brighton. I said last week, if West Ham can't beat Brighton, then they're unlikely to stay in the Premier League. And they didn't beat Brighton. And the more and more I see West Ham and the more I look at their results, the more I can see them getting relegated. And I said it last week, it's an abysmal state of affairs with the players they have, the ground they have, the ownership they have. They should not be talking about relegation. And it will be a relegation of Leeds United proportions when they do get relegated.
I think when we were talking about Everton earlier in the season and they were miserably down toward the bottom of the table. None of us really actually believed, I don't think, that they'd be there for the long haul. We knew eventually it would turn around, but this has the feeling of,
yeah, you see,
this may not turn around.
West Ham have already changed the manager. Do you know what I mean? And it hasn't changed results. Barring changing the manager again, which is a very risky tactic. Like, they're in this kind of grey area, which they don't have time to be in. Like, do we stick with David Moyes and see if things turn around? But do we have time to see if things turn around? Or do we get rid of David Moyes, bring in another manager, and possibly get even worse? You know, it's a horrible place to be as a club. But I don't know. I don't know if they have themselves to blame, or if they have luck to blame, or they have their defence to blame. But
they've lost 13 matches. That's what they have to blame. They've only won 6 games this season. I don't think they have much to blame by themselves.
Like, what was this, that stat you gave me about Brighton there? They've only won 1 game in their last 13.
Yeah.
But they still managed to draw with West Ham.
That
tells you everything about what you need to know about West Ham.
Yeah, it's a dire set of affairs. West Ham, I can't even remember the last time West Ham won a game. They haven't won one in the last 6 or 7 anyway.
No.
And they're just losing too many games, and they're conceding way too many goals. Mm. Only Aston Villa and Norwich have conceded more goals than them, and that is usually a damning stat with RE relegation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Goals conceded is one that'll kill, it'll bury you.
Yeah.
And that's...
That's
kind of where they are now. They're in a serious, serious spot of bother. If they manage to pull themselves out of it, it won't be a miraculous shoot up the table like Everton did. It'll be a hanging on by goal difference type thing.
If you think about any team that's ever survived relegation or had the quintessential great escape from relegation, they've always done it by stopping goals going in. It's not by scoring goals, because generally... teams that are down around the relegation zone are there. They can't score goals, and they don't have the top strikers. And it's usually because they can't score goals and they can't stop conceding goals. So normally, what happens is a manager goes in and he shores them up at the back, and they stop conceding, and they get some draws, and then they get some scrappy wins. But West Ham's defense, you just cannot see them stopping conceding.
No, that's the issue. There seems to be no steel in that back four, high up or low down. They're just undone too easily, too often.
Brighton probably haven't scored 3 goals against anybody in years.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. That's the honest God's truth. Like, they find it hard to score goals. Like, when you look at it, and I don't know, it's just it's a sorry set of affairs for a club of West Ham's proportions, and I'd say the fans as well. You know, everything appeared to be on an upward trajectory the last few years, and now it ain't. Quickly.
I'll get the clip. I remember our very first podcast this season, or maybe the second podcast, we spoke about West Ham. We said it was the best West Ham side that there has been in the Premier League era.
We put them in the same category. Now, in fairness, we were right with Leicester. We said this was the type of a year that a Leicester or a West Ham could break into the top four.
And we were looking at West Ham after signing... Sebastian Haller, who looked like a good signing, and they had Lanzini, Forlans, Antonio, Felipe Anderson, Mark Nolan was playing like the West Ham Pirlo, and we were eulogising about them and talking about they had Pellegrini in as manager, which was a massive, massive signing for a club like West Ham in the manager's position, and we were talking about how they were going to be the ones to break into those Europa League spots and possibly challenge for top four with Leicester, and we said Everton as well.
Yeah.
But like,
you never know, by the end of the season, we could be right there.
The fact that we're damning them now and damning their back four and talking about how they're nearly getting relegated is a really bad indictment on what they've done this season.
100%. And when you look at like what we're actually supposed to be discussing, but in reality, we kind of are at the same time, because we're judging where West Ham are, and they're now facing Man City, who can be a juggernaut at times. In reality, no one saying is expecting West Ham to get anything out of this game this weekend.
Like, Manchester City, at the weekend, Mourinho just Mourinho'd the shit out of them. You know, we've seen it so many times when Mourinho faces a side like City or Liverpool or a good Leicester side or a good United side when he was with Chelsea. He parks the bus, he frustrates the life out of you. You have 100 attempts on goal, you can't score one, and then they go up the other end of the pitch and they score a scrappy header or a deflected own goal or something like that. And it's what Mourinho's done for years. And for the most part of that game until the red card, that's what he did to City. Before the red card, City had 14 attempts on goal and Spurs had 0. Spurs' only two attempts on goal were the two goals they scored after City got the red card. So that game for City was an anomaly. It was a Mourinho. They were just Mourinho. That's what happened. So
yeah,
City will be going into this game against West Ham with a savage amount of butthurt, and they'll be looking to punish somebody. And I would not like to be a West Ham fan and go traveling to this game in Manchester.
Yeah, you can see this being a bit of an opening, and I would predict it would be. And what I was saying, like, in relation to not expecting West Ham to get anything out of this, like, we've predicted Watford below them will get something.
Mm-hmm.
Villa are playing Spurs, and God knows what Spurs will turn up, and Villa are at home. They could easily get something. Bournemouth are in a real tough game with Sheffield United, but could easily get something.
They could get a point anyway.
Brighton and Watford, as we've already alluded to about Watford, that could go anyway. You just don't know. All the teams around West Ham could pick up points.
Yeah.
But in reality, you look at West Ham and think they can't pick up points this week. And then they lose ground again, and then things start to feel worse and worse.
Yeah.
And you're just wondering, when does it get better for West Ham?
Well, if you were David Gold, he's the chairman of West Ham. If you were him at the moment looking at what's in front of you with David Moyes and the squad, the January transfer window's closed. You're can't win a game for love nor money. You're hurtling towards the relegation zone. What would your next move be?
I'll probably sound silly, but I genuinely think that David Moyes could keep them up. He's done it before, and I have a funny feeling he could do it again. And I know what you said about bringing in a manager to maybe just try and get a quick fix, a Big Sam type person that just the flow for 12 games and just get you enough points that you just survive, and then you can build on what you've been building on for the last few seasons. But I would just stick with Moyes. He's proven he can do it before. I just think he might be able to do it again.
Did he really prove he could do it?
I know. He won
9 of 31 games.
But he kept them up. That's what I'm saying. He can do it. And I just... Like, if he won 9 of 31, West Ham have won 6 of 25. Like, I guarantee you they won't be on 9 wins after 31 games this season. I guarantee you that.
I'm not saying sack Moyes. I just genuinely don't know what the best... That's the reason I asked you. I genuinely don't know what the best thing to do for West Ham. They could stick with Moyes and it could work out, or they could get relegated, or they could bring in a manager that could turn it around or could make it worse. You know what I mean? It's just one of those that they... And with Everton, Everton's form was poor, but they made a decision early enough in the season to be able to make it, to affect it. Whereas West Ham's decision has come so late that they're in this situation now where they don't have time to make those decisions or make those changes.
Yeah, it's late. That's why I honestly believe it's too late to bring someone else in now. I think it's a kind of a case of it's better the devil you know than the devil you don't with this.
They signed a couple of players in the January transfer window. I don't know if any of those players are going to be the answer to saving their season. It's a tough one to call, really, with West Ham. But let's not try and predict the future too far, but try and predict the result of this fixture.
Well, we're not exactly trying to crack the enigma with this one, are we? It's going to be a Man City win, and it's going to be handy, and probably by 3.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be by at least 3. That's where we're going to leave it for this week's podcast, because this game week is split over 2 weeks, and they are the games of this week. However, on next week's podcast, you have the joy of listening to us discuss the fixture of Chelsea versus Manchester United, which is going to be a quality fixture, and there's a lot riding on that. There's a top four position.
Huge, yeah, huge
top
game.
Four. There's a couple other nice games. Arsenal are playing Newcastle. Southampton are playing Burnley, Wolves are playing Leicester, Liverpool are playing Norwich, and Spurs are playing Aston Villa. So it's going to be a tidy game week. But for now, we're going to leave it right there, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
This is the Premier League Preview Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @Premier_podcast. Find us on Facebook under Premier League Preview Podcast, or online at plpreview.com.